It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yes, indeed. The madness of March is upon us, and we welcome you into Gwen and Chris, everybody. Happy Monday to you, kicking off a new week here. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together today. We're not actually together. I've gone to Las Vegas with the Aztec basketball team. Scraby is at the Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr., we're spread out all over the place. He is down in Peoria calling Padres baseball. They're down in Arizona today calling Padres baseball. Padres were ahead last check over the Mariners, Scraby, 4-1.
Yes.
Manny Machado with a two-run single today, and Luis Camposano chipping in with an RBI double. You know, the first let me say hello. How are you? Welcome. How you been? How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty good, I gotta say. I didn't do much. I played a lot of video games on Saturday, and then, you know, I walked the dogs. I went on a hike. It was good stuff. How about yours?
I've never asked you this exactly. What? How long is a typical video game, sit down for you?
If
you don't have anywhere to be, right? You got a Saturday afternoon, you've already walked the dog, everybody's out of the house. You're sitting down. You're going to play video games. You got your favorite thing. How many hours are you going?
This is kind of embarrassing, but I'll say like six.
What?
Four, five, six.
6 hours?
Well, here's the thing. I've
oh my goodness.
I have decided that I'm not playing video games during the week because I was staying up too late. And so I basically play on Saturdays. That's my day now is video game day. So it's like 6 hours. I'll just keep going and going and going and going and going. It's so much fun.
And I know you. I mean, I think I know you. I mean, you have to, in a 6 hour period, I would think you'd have to break at least two or three times to eat something.
Oh,
do you not take a break or do you pause the console?
I'm kind of like,
the console and go grab a bite to eat.
Well, actually, I have to leave the online lobby so that it doesn't put me in any games while I'm gone. Cause that's happened before where it puts me into games and I'm just standing there and then people are just killing me and then I have bad points. So I have to leave the lobby and I have to make sure that I'm not in any part of the games, but that I understand that's a ridiculous amount of time.
That is a ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah,
but you know what, I'm glad that you admitted to it, because there's somebody out there, you know, some husband somewhere who plays video games for like 4 hours on a Saturday and his wife gives him endless crap about it, and now he can turn to her and go, hey, at least I'm only playing four.
But that's the thing, is if I was married, this wouldn't be a thing. I would not be playing 6 hours in one day.
You would never get, I can tell you for a fact, you would never get six.
I fully understand that.
I'm lucky if I get 6 minutes to do anything on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, what about you then? What did you do on Saturday afternoon other than fly to Las Vegas?
That's pretty much, you know, that was my day. I got into Las Vegas Saturday and enjoyed some time with my goddaughter who lives here in Las Vegas and her new baby, 1-year-old Leo, and we had some fun, and got the Aztec women's basketball tournament off to a good start. They won last night, looked impressive, and now we'll play again tonight, and hopefully The girls will play well again, and they'll be able to advance to the semifinals. It's the best time of year, Scrabe. I know the Super Bowl is great. I know some people go for the Fall Classic. I know that some people go for, you know, opening whatever day. Else it is. Yeah, opening day is a big, well, but opening day is kind of in this time, you know? I mean, to me, March is just the best. The NCAA basketball tournaments, the men, now the women have really stepped up, and it's much more interesting and exciting to watch their tournaments now than it's ever been before. And yeah, I mean, you've got spring training happening. And on top of that, Scrabe, now you can put free agency in football. I mean, are you kidding me with some of the moves that were made today in the NFL on the opening day of free agency? Somebody ought to call.
It's not even the opening day, Chris. It's the legal tampering period right now.
Okay, well, you know what? Whatever it is, it's the day that we can start finding out about stuff.
Yeah.
But my point is, baseball ought to be paying attention to this, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Baseball's free agency period was such a dud, and it's, you know, it still continues to be a dud in the sense that a lot of really good players still don't have jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
The NFL. I mean, here we are. This is the week that the Padres leave for Korea. This is the beginning of the brand new Major League Baseball season. And all of the headlines in sports are focused on the National Football League. Because when they get to free agency, they make stuff happen, Scrabe.
I agree. And this is what I was calling for on the Scraby Show. In the early years of the Scraby Show, early months of the Scraby Show, I said that they need a free agent signing period to create the intrigue to get us talking about baseball. And they even started talking about it, but players are not necessarily on board. Teams are not necessarily on board. But they need something because we are so excited with this news. And it could be like that for baseball, too.
Yeah, baseball's got to figure out that that's just the way you have to do it. Whether the players and the teams want to or not, you need to have a dedicated time that free agents can sign because it just creates buzz, which you cannot pay. You cannot buy that kind of buzz.
No,
right? The NFL, it's unbelievable right now. All anybody's talking about, Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta today, right? What else did we have? I mean, just huge stories.
Saquon Barkley to the Eagles.
Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. We got Josh Jacobs going to the Packers. We've got, let's see. I mean, I'm looking at headlines
phone. Baker Mayfield re-signs with the Buccaneers.
I mean, Swift went somewhere today.
Oh, DeAndre Swift. He went to, I'm blanking on it right now. There were so many moves that I can't remember.
So many moves I can't keep track of them. And if I didn't have my phone, I would have written them all down. But it's just, I mean, the Miami Dolphins lost half their team today, basically.
Oh, DeAndre Swift is now with the Bears, which is, the Bears are an interesting team because I think they're showing all their cards. They're drafting Caleb Williams. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And if I'm Justin Fields, I'm very angry about it because they gave me nothing while I was there, and they're going to give Caleb Williams all this other stuff.
All right. Well, we'll talk about the Bears some other time. But the big point here right now is that the NFL free agency is dominating the headlines
today. Oh, wait. I have to mention this. The chat wants me to mention it. And by the way, you could watch on YouTube. Just search 97.3 The Fan. Your guy Wilkins is going to the Raiders.
Oh, I'm aware of that. Yeah. And we lost our star guard, Robert Hunt, signed with another team. The Texans or somebody like that. So, yeah, Miami lost two big free agent guys already today. Running backs are changing teams. Marcus Pollard, the Dallas running back, signed with the Titans,
Tony Pollard.
Yeah, what did I say?
Marcus
Pollard.
Yeah, Titans. That's interesting, too.
Yeah, well, that might be the end for Derrick Henry in Tennessee if it wasn't already. So, but, I mean, this is what you do if you want to dominate the earth. Right. And that's what the National Football League has done. The National Football League runs all of our lives. And, you know, we may not want to admit it, but it's true. When they say jump, we say how high. When they say pay attention to us, we stop everything we're doing and we pay attention to the NFL. And in this case, Scrabe, what it means is we're not paying attention to baseball and spring training and the start of a season. We're not paying attention even to March Madness and the NCAA and the conference tournaments and all of the excitement that brings. We're certainly not paying attention to the fact that the Lakers won two big games over the weekend, beat Minnesota last night. and Anthony Davis had a historic game, et cetera, et cetera. None of that for us, because the National Football League has spoken, and the National Football League has said, hey, we're going to dominate today, and here are our headlines, so the rest of you sports, deal with it.
Deal.
And that's
wow.
how you work it.
Okay.
That's how you do it. You know, I mean, that's what's happened here. And, you know, I mean, I love March Madness. I love spring training. I don't love spring training, but you know what I mean? The run up to a baseball season and opening day and all the excitement. But the NFL has taken my attention today. I mean, you turn on a sports TV show tonight. What do you think is going to be the headline story? Kirk Cousins? And if it's not Kirk Cousins, it's going to be Tony Pollard.
Or Saquon
Barkley. If it's not Tony Pollard, it's going to be Saquon Barkley.
It's definitely going to be Saquon.
It's not Saquon Barkley. But you know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's the big deal in a time when there's other major things happening. Those all have to take a back seat to the... You have to stand in awe of the power of the National Football League. You just do.
It's absolutely overwhelming. It almost makes me want to go the other way just because of how powerful they actually are. Did you just take a drink off of your soda?
I did. I took a sip. Wow, I was a little heated in my last statement.
That was hilarious.
I needed to take a drink after that last statement. But no, I've seen this before, and you know, it's impressive what they do, and I respect for what you're saying that you know what, just because they're trying to control me, I'm going to go the other way. But you know you're not going to.
No.
You know you're not going to. When it's time for a football game to come on, you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
And you're going to bet on it, or you're going to have your fantasy players in it, or whatever the case may be. But you will have interest, and that's just the way it goes. And, I mean, if you're the other sports, you can't even try to compete with them. What you have to do is hope that something major just doesn't happen when you're trying to promote what's going on in your sport.
Yeah.
Because football will steal it.
I'm looking
They'll
on the chat.
It.
I mean, I think San Diego is a place where I don't want to say a number, but I think that San Diego is a place where they love NFL, but there are some that don't like the NFL and they're disagreeing with you right now, which is fine. But, you know, I can't say that Major League Baseball's free agency was exciting at all. It was actually more annoying than anything because there's been no news.
Yeah. No, it was totally not exciting, and I respect the people on the chat that are diehard, live and die every breath with the Padres, and that's number one to them, and I appreciate that. You're a diehard Padre fan. But if you step back for a minute and look at the landscape, you will see the same thing I see, and that is that the National Football League nowadays runs roughshod over Major League Baseball. I'm sorry. I'm a baseball guy, Scrabe. I played baseball. I've covered baseball. I've been in baseball my whole life. But the NFL dominates. And you could just look at what's happening today to give you a total, you know, to almost to prove it or to, help confirm it anyway. You know, they're taking over on a day when we should be talking about the Padres and the weekend and some of the pitching matchups and some of the battles that are, you know, coming right down to the wire for roster spots. NFL free agency is far bigger than that.
It is.
Sorry. It is.
But so. I do.
Anyway, Scraby will have a...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I do love watching the standings for the Cactus League Championship, so...
Yes, I know you do.
I love it.
I know. Where are the Padres currently?
No idea.
Since you watched, I thought you said you watched the standings.
They're not in contention for the Cactus League title, okay? They're not.
I know they're
but
not.
But stop paying attention.
Not. All right, well, Scraby's going to have an interesting show for you today with me in Las Vegas and getting ready to do an Aztec women's basketball game a little later. Got Tony calling Padres baseball. It's going to be a bit of a split squad. I'm going to be with Scraby for the first hour or two of the show. Tony's going to join for the second hour or two of the show. But we'll be in and out a little bit, so there'll be some Scraby segments along the way. And one of those segments in the 3 o'clock hour, Scraby will, in detail, break down all of the free agent moves that were made today in the National Football League. But it was crazy, crazy day. I mean, big names changing teams.
Yes, and I mean,
we're not talking about backup outfielders here. We're talking about Pro Bowl running backs, Pro Bowl quarterbacks, wide receivers, all moving today around the National Football League.
I have some big news from the Padres game. Jackson Merrill has homered to center. So now he's on the board with some,
oh my goodness,
with some power. There we go.
Now he's got a home run now. That's it. Okay.
That's all I got. Well, it's the clap.
If he wasn't already godlike in the eyes of Padre fans, he just took another step forward to being a deity. So that's fantastic. Jackson Merrill has had a great spring. So have so many of the other young players for the Padres. And hopefully it's all going to translate into a wonderful season. All right, we are underway for this Monday program. Chris Ello from Las Vegas, Matt Scraby from the Odyssey Palace Studios, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Arizona will be joining us a little bit later. You're there. You can watch on YouTube. You can listen on 97.3 The Fan. When we come back, the Aztecs basketball team, they will be coming to Las Vegas on Wednesday, and they will be getting ready for the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Is another March Madness run in the cards for the Aztecs? I hate to say, it doesn't really look like it right now. We will discuss some of that when Gwen and Chris comes back on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby today. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be he'll be joining a little later in the show, but he's still calling spring training baseball. Padres ahead of the Seattle Mariners 5-1. They're in the top of the fifth inning. Yu Darvish, four innings, has allowed three hits and one run. So Darvish is pitching well. And offensively, Luis Camposano has an RBI double. Manny Machado has a two-run single. And as Scraby said just a little while ago, Jackson Merrill hit his first home run of the spring, a solo shot over the center field wall.
Not only
Merrill's
that, Chris.
Two for two in the ball game.
Sorry, I just yelled into your ear. I said, not only that, Manny Machado went 3-for-3 over the weekend. We know who's starting game one and game two now. This is like, we're getting into it. We're getting into it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If the Padres' regular season goes as well as the spring has in terms of individual performance, we're going to be having a terrific season.
Yeah.
Right? The Padres couldn't ask for anything more this spring. I mean, they have had so many guys, young guys, step up and contribute in spring training. And, you know, the question I still have is, are they going to be able to do similar things once the regular season begins? But, you know, right now you have to love what you're seeing. And you look at this lineup today against the Mariners, and is this going to be the opening day lineup against the Dodgers? Bogarts, Tatis, Cronenworth, Machado DHing, Kim, Graham Pauly is now at third base. Campusano, Profar, and Merrill. That's the lineup today. That sounds to me like pretty much what you're going to see. I had thought Tyler Wade, because Tony told me that Tyler Wade might win that third base job.
He's still good.
I'm blaming Tony for that. Yeah, I guess he could, but Graham Pauly's been, it seems like he's past him now. Graham Pauly seems to be the number one guy. So, you know, I mean, that the lineup that you're looking at today could very well be the lineup on opening day. And this spring has been fantastic for the Padres. They have had so many nice things happen. All of the young pitchers have pitched well, starters and relievers. Do you know what I'm saying? Nobody's really gotten hurt except for Matsui. Matsui's been the one guy that's had some injury issues with the back spasms and
stuff.
And
even that's not that bad.
But other than, doesn't seem like it's that bad. Yeah, I mean, but the starting pitching rotation, you don't know exactly who's going to win everything because everyone's put their best foot forward. So, you know, like I said, hopefully April will look as good as March has for the Padres.
Yes.
Because it's been a real good and successful spring training.
It's like everybody.
Now, the record is,
sorry.
I was just going to say, the record is only 7-9. But you're not looking at record. You're looking at what individual guys are doing, and you're judging as to whether you think they can contribute in the major leagues. And they're getting a lot of positive responses to that.
They are. And for everybody who doesn't know, Chris and I are on a small delay, so we're trying our best here. And I think we're doing an okay job. I just yell sometimes, and it cuts off Chris.
We're on a small delay?
Yeah, it's okay,
like,
though.
All right. Well, we'll power on through.
Yes, correct.
The Aztecs last night, or Friday night, got beat by Boise State, 79-77.
Well, did you go? Did you go?
I did. I went to the game because I wanted to see the senior night activities. Wanted to see Lamont Butler get honored. He got a huge ovation, as you might expect.
Later, nice.
Jaden Ledee got a great ovation. All of the kids did. But, yeah, it was disappointing. I mean, they lose the game in overtime. And, you know, all of a sudden now San Diego State can't win a close game in basketball. And, you know, their undefeated home season went out the window. They were lucky. They were really lucky to end up at least getting a bye in the first round of the Mountain West Conference tournament. Had New Mexico beaten Utah State Saturday night, and that was a 2-point game, then the Aztecs would have slid all the way down to the sixth seed. They would have had to play a first round game. But at least they get a bye.
Yeah, that's bad.
But now their road to win the Mountain West Conference championship, they got to beat UNLV on UNLV's home court in the first game.
It's
and
tough.
Then if they do that, they're going to have to beat, yeah, that's tough. And then they're going to have to beat the regular season champ Utah State in the second game. And then if they win those two, they'll have to still win a third against any number of good teams. But I'm not as concerned about the Mountain West Conference championship as I am about, you know, the March and the madness and the NCAAs. The Aztecs' chances, the four seed is gone. That's long gone. They now have no chance to get that cushy four seed. A five seed is certainly in question in my mind. They could end up falling to a six, especially if they don't beat UNLV on Thursday. And if they're a six seed, they're going to draw a team from a power conference as they have before in the first round. And it's going to be a big challenge right off the bat for the Aztecs. And the difference between this year's team and last year's team is very little. All right, except for one thing. Last year's team never lost a close game. They always found a way to win. This year's team, unfortunately, has been the exact opposite. And I don't know, you know, yeah, I don't know what the reasoning for it is other than the fact that that's just how sports works. I went back and I looked. They lost an overtime game at the beginning of last season in the Maui Classic to Arkansas. After that game, the Aztecs last season and to begin this season won 11 games in a row that were either in overtime or decided by one possession. 11 in a row. And that includes, you know, Creighton in the Elite Eight. That includes Florida Atlantic in the Final Four, et cetera, et cetera. But since that streak, the Aztecs have now lost six games in a row that have gone to overtime or been decided by one possession. And you know, in the NCAA tournament, maybe not every game is going to be one possession, but almost all of them will be. And you got to be winning those games, and you have the confidence that you can win those games. And right now, unfortunately, this team doesn't have it.
No, so, they don't. But at least they're getting it. At least they're getting it out of the way now, because now all they can do is just win.
Yeah,
they can only go up from here.
You're right. It can change with one game. You know, you win one, and then all of a sudden you have a good feeling about those close games. But what happened Friday night? They lost the game in large part due to the fact that Max Rice, the coach's son for Boise State, made a 45-foot jump shot with the shot clock running out in overtime.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. They defended the possession perfectly. They were down by 2 points. They were going to get the ball back with a chance to tie or win. And this guy picks up the loose ball, heaves it at the basket, and it goes right in. And you start thinking, maybe
really,
you know, this year's team might be a little snake bit, whereas last year's team, you know, that would have never happened to last year's team.
And also, what is with sons of the head coaches just killing the Aztecs? You got Buddy Boeheim years ago. You got this guy killing the Aztecs.
Yeah, Buddy Boeheim killed him many
years
ago.
Where's Brian Dutcher? Yeah. Does he have a son coming up through the system so he can go kill other teams?
Does he have a son coming up through the system? I don't think he does. But anyway, look, I love these kids. I love the Aztecs. I'm going to be there every step of the way. But it's certainly been it's been much tougher, you know, to watch what's happened to them this year and see all of these games that have been so close. And just, you know, not be able to really win any of them. And now, you know, they're in a position where, you know, to repeat as Mountain West Conference champions, they've got a gauntlet to get through starting Thursday here in Las Vegas. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back to baseball we go. Scott Miller will join us. It's always fun to have Scott on the program. Get some of his thoughts on the spring training Padres and what he expects for 2024. That is coming up next on Gwynn and Chris. Back on the program, Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together today. Chris Ello, I'm in Las Vegas, and Aztec basketball this week, Mountain West Conference Tournament. Matt Scraby at the Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego. I can actually see the Thomas and Mack Arena from my my window in my hotel. I don't
know how's
that
it
means
look?
Anybody, anything to anybody out there. It looks like just a building.
Didn't you go to the Sphere?
A roof on it. I did. I went to the Sphere on, let's see, Saturday night. It was kind of fun. I went with Ben Pearson, the Aztecs media relations guy. We saw a show in the Sphere. I'm glad I got to go. It's pretty cool. It's definitely something everybody should experience one time.
What show did you have?
Well, it was called Postcards from the Edge, or from Earth, Postcards from Earth. And it's a beautiful vistas of the Earth, but it's presented in the inside of that planetarium-like setting of the Sphere. The screen opens up, and anyway, I'm not good at describing this stuff. Just telling you all should check it out one time in your life. If you come to Las Vegas, go to the Sphere. I know Scraby's getting Scott Miller on the program
for us.
He is
ready to go.
He's going to join us to talk some baseball. He is ready to go. Well, let's bring him on the show then.
Yes.
Scott Miller, how are you, sir? Always great to talk to you and catch up with you, especially at this time of year.
Great time of year. Spring training, baseball, means summer's about here. NCAA basketball tournament about to start. It is so much going on. So welcome at this time of year.
It's awesome. And don't leave out NFL free agency, Scott, which is actually dominating the headlines today. Let me ask
the
you
NFL,
about...
When the NFL yawns, it dominates headlines.
See, Scott? Scott and I are on the same page with this. You're absolutely right, Scott. Well, let me ask you this, Scott Miller. Are you ready for the Graham Pauly and Jackson Merrill eras to begin with the San Diego Padres? I think it's looking pretty clear for sure that Jackson Merrill's going to be starting on opening day, And Graham Pauley's starting to get more and more playing time at third base as we get closer. I mean, are these young guys, we'll find out if they're ready. But I guess the question is, can young guys really make an impact this early in their careers?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, that's part of the fun of a new season to me. You know, sometimes when you roll out some of the young guys that have this opportunity in front of them, and that it'll be interesting to watch and see how they respond and what they do. And, you know, I mean, you think back to a couple different years with the Padres. You know, last year everybody was hyped out of their mind, but it wasn't because of the young guys. It was because of Juan Soto and Machado and all the superstars already on board. And we saw how that worked out. A year ago at this time, it was almost like guaranteed roll into the playoffs and how deep do they play. But baseball doesn't work that way. And, sometimes, you go back with the Padres a couple years back to another young guy they were breaking in when he made the opening day roster, Fernando Tatis Jr. And nobody knew how that would play out. And, boy, he hit the ground running and gave us all kinds of excitement. Now, I think he's probably a generational player. I don't think it'd be fair to, Jackson Merrill or especially Pauley to expect him to be anywhere near Tatis's rookie year level. But coming off of last year's colossal disappointment, I think bringing in some young guys, with some, fresh looks, could be, probably is going to be a good thing. I mean, everybody's raving about Jackson Merrill. I love the stat. Assuming he starts opening day in center field, since 1900, there's only been two starting center fielders under the age of, 21? One was Ken Griffey Jr. One was Andrew Jones of the Atlanta Braves. That's pretty darn doggone good company for Jackson Merrill to step into.
That is great company for Jackson Merrill to step into. We're talking to Scott Miller here on 97.3 The Fan. And is there, I don't know if this has changed, but I remember when Fernando was coming into, when he had a chance to make the opening day roster and make his debut, it was the talk about service time. Do the Padres want to start his clock? It doesn't seem like that's as much of a concern. Is that because it's not really a thing anymore, or are teams just looking past it now?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. It's a little bit of what you just said. It's not quite as much of a thing anymore. Teams are looking a little past it now. And, let's face it, part of what the Padres have going right now is a numbers game, right? I mean, trading Soto, trading Trent Grisham. I mean, they didn't have enough outfielders going into spring training to fill out a doggone three-man outfield. It didn't seem like, they had to sign Jerks and Profar after camp started. And then they just had a whole lot of young guys. So it's part of the budget cutting, where they traded Soto and Grisham and they weren't going to go out and add a lot of free agents unless it was out of desperation. And then it was going to be, the lower tier, cheaper free agents. They certainly weren't going to, replace a Juan Soto with somebody, with a high Q rating like Soto had. So, part of it is, the service time isn't quite looked at since the last collective bargaining agreement as what it used to be. And I think teams recognize now that there's so much good young talent, from in Baltimore, Adley Rutschman, and, guys like that, the kid playing shortstop in St. Louis this spring, Mason Wynn, that, teams are less afraid to start the young guys earlier in their career because, they're coming in more major league ready than they used to based on a whole lot of things, improved training techniques, travel ball from the time they're 10 or 11, great coaching across the board. So, I think teams are less scared of young guys. Young guys play big more quickly than they used to. And, like I say, in the Padres case, I mean, what you're going to lose in the service time battle, you're going to make up for it, but not, by lowering your budget this year, not having to pay, exorbitant prices for the Juan Soto's of the world.
Scott Miller is with us, and Scott, I think you're 100% right. I mean, young guys are contributing in ways that they never did before.
Yep.
And practically all over baseball, we're seeing examples of this. I want to ask you about the Padre fans and whether or not some of them, many of them, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but those who feel like the Padres have let them down a little bit by lowering their payroll so drastically a year after they made it what it was, they've raised some ticket prices, etc. My point to them is that it would have been bad business to go over the luxury tax a third year in a row. It just cost too much money. It would have been irresponsible. And that they really have had no choice but to cut back on spending this year. And the fact of the matter is, they still have a contending payroll. And just because this year's isn't last year's doesn't mean it's fair to be upset with them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you laid it out pretty well. I would add, look, everybody was shocked at the payroll last year. I mean, you had the only teams outspending the Padres were the Mets and the Yankees. I mean, the two New York teams. That's it. And I think for local fans, I love the way the Padres now are an everyday part of so many people's lives. You only have to think back to the broken trust at the end of the John Moores era and then the disaster when Jeff Morad theoretically owned the team. I mean, the fans were turned off. The Padres were kind of ignored. You only have to compare it now to then. I mean, the Padres are relevant again. This ownership has made them relevant. You credit, you know, the late Peter Seidler and Ron Fowler, and, you know, who stepped aside now, and you know, the Padres management for spending the money they did. I mean, I think last year was stunning. And I think for fans to expect last year's payroll, that the Padres would continue to be like the third or fourth highest payroll in the game, I think that's unrealistic, totally unrealistic expectations. I think, you know, you can't sit here as a fan and expect the way the economics of the game are, a team in this market to spend like they did last year. I think the fact that what they spent the last 2 years, instead of fans being angry this year, they should, you know, be thankful and credit the Padres for what they've done the last couple of years. They weren't going to be able to just keep spending money nonstop, uninhibited, forever. Also, I think fans need to remember what they got from last year's team, which was a fall on its face. They didn't even make the playoffs. I think that factors into it because, you know, there was all kinds of money, October money, playoff ticket sales and that kind of thing that I'm sure the Padres counted on that never showed up because they didn't make the playoffs. So last year, as much as they spent, it was, and as well as they drew, and with all those sellouts, it still wasn't ever going to be the financial windfall they thought maybe it would be if they didn't make the playoffs. So I think they had to adjust, recalibrate a little bit. And the other thing I would add under this umbrella is, you know, longtime fans, think back to when Tom Warner came in as owner in the early 90s and they had that fire sale. I mean, you know, they traded away Fred McGriff and Roberto Alomar and, you know, Hall of Famers and All-Stars. And that's not anywhere close to what's happening now. I mean, you've still got a really interesting team to watch this year with, you know, Machado. You know, you got superstars of superstars across the game, like Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, Fernando Tatis Jr., Yu Darvish, you know, Musgrove. I mean, you still got a lot of talent on this team. And back to where we started, you know, if the Jackson Merrills of the world come in and play, you know, this, I'm not going to predict this, but this year's team could end up being better than last year's just because they traded Juan Soto and cut payroll. It was not a fire sale situation. It's not like they offloaded all their talent.
Yeah, we're talking to Scott Miller here on 97.3 The Fan, Gwen and Chris. And we were, well, I think that Juan Soto, we've been talking about this for a while, but Juan Soto, I don't know your thoughts. The Padres got so much pitching, and now that Gerrit Cole might have an elbow injury and all this other stuff, Do you think that at some point the Yankees are going to regret trading all of their pitching away, or at least a lot of their pitching away?
They might, because you cannot fake pitching in this time. I don't care what the new, whatever analytics you point to, you get to look at, break the game down however you want to, on base percentage, slugging percent, exit velocity. If you don't pitch, bottom line, if you don't pitch, you don't win. That's still how you win in this game. So, the Yankees are going to be a very interesting case study. And, I'll tell you what, the other thing is if Gerrit Cole, with that MRI, depending on what that shows next few days, if he ends up, on the injured list or if it's significant, I could see all of a sudden the markets for the Yankees might increase that market for Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery, the two best free agent pitchers that still are out there on the free agent market. If I'm Scott Boras today with those two as clients, I'm watching Gerrit Cole and I'm talking. I'm sure there's already been communication with the Yankees, because you're right. I don't know if the Yankees, if they lose him after making the trade, the trades they did and trading the pitching to San Diego for Soto, they may end up needing to go right back into the free agent market. And, I thought the trade was a good gamble for the Yankees, but, I'm not as high on Juan Soto as a lot of people. I know his numbers ended up good at the end of the year last year, but I thought he was a bust. I've never seen, I just, guys with that kind of talent with a bat, swing the bat. I've never seen an alleged superstar so desperate just to walk every time at the plate. And he didn't, I mean, I could go on. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I was thrilled, to be honest with you. And I think Juan Soto is one of the biggest reasons they underachieved last year.
Scott Miller, music to my ears. I've been singing this Juan Soto thing by myself for 6 months now. It's nice to have a little support. And I was going to say, if you talk to the Yankees, tell them we're not taking Juan Soto back. They're stuck with him.
Right.
Hey, Scott, real quick, I got like 2 minutes left. Give me a quick look at the West. Is it that cut and dry? Dodgers back on the program. Crisello, Matt Scraby together today. Crisello I'm in Las Vegas. And Aztec basketball this week, Mountain West Conference Tournament. Matt Scraby at the Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego. I can actually see the Thomas and Mack Arena from my window in my hotel. I don't
and think how's
that
it
means
look?
Anybody, anything to anybody out there. It looks like just a building.
Didn't you go to the Sphere?
A roof on it. I did. I went to the Sphere on, Saturday night. It was kind of fun. I went with Ben Pearson, the Aztecs media relations guy. We saw a show in the Sphere. I'm glad I got to go. It's pretty cool. It's definitely something everybody should experience one time.
What show did you have?
Well, it was called Postcards from the Edge, or from Earth. Postcards from Earth. And it's a beautiful vistas of the Earth, but it's presented in the inside of that planetarium-like setting of the Sphere. The screen opens up, and anyway, I'm not good at describing this stuff. Just telling you all should check it out one time in your life. If you come to Las Vegas, go to the Sphere. I know Scraby's getting Scott Miller on the program
for us.
He is
ready to go.
He's going to join us to talk some baseball. He is ready to go. Well, let's bring him on the show then.
Yes.
Scott Miller, how are you, sir? Always great to talk to you and catch up with you, especially at this time of year.
Great time of year. Spring training, baseball, means summer's about here. NCAA basketball tournament about to start. It is so much going on. So welcome at this time of year.
It's awesome. And don't leave out NFL free agency, Scott, which is actually dominating the headlines today. Let me ask
the
you
NFL,
about...
When the NFL yawns, it dominates headlines.
See, Scott? Scott and I are on the same page with this. You're absolutely right, Scott. Well, let me ask you this, Scott Miller. Are you ready for the Graham Pauly and Jackson Merrill eras to begin with the San Diego Padres, I think it's looking pretty clear for sure that Jackson Merrill's going to be starting on opening day. And Graham Pauly's starting to get more and more playing time at third base as we get closer. I mean, are these young guys, we'll find out if they're ready. But I guess the question is, can young guys really make an impact this early in their careers?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, that's part of the fun of a new season to me. You know, sometimes when you roll out some of the young guys that have this opportunity in front of them, and that it'll be interesting to watch and see how they respond and what they do. And, you know, I mean, you think back to a couple different years with the Padres. You know, last year everybody was hyped out of their mind, but it wasn't because of the young guys. It was because of Juan Soto and Machado and all the superstars already on board. And we saw how that worked out. A year ago at this time, it was almost like guaranteed roll into the playoffs and how deep do they play. But baseball doesn't work that way. And, sometimes, you go back with the Padres a couple years back to another young guy they were breaking in when he made the opening day roster, Fernando Tatis Jr. And nobody knew how that would play out. And boy, he hit the ground running and gave us all kinds of excitement. Now, I think he's probably a generational player. I don't think it'd be fair to, Jackson Merrill or especially Pauly to expect him to be anywhere near Tatis's rookie year level. But coming off of last year's colossal disappointment, I think bringing in some young guys, with some, fresh looks could be, probably is going to be a good thing. I mean, everybody's raving about Jackson Merrill. I love the stat. Assuming he starts opening day in center field, since 1900, there's only been two starting center fielders under the age of, 21? One was Ken Griffey Jr., one was Andrew Jones of the Atlanta Braves. That's pretty darn doggone good company for Jackson Merrill to step into.
That is great company for Jackson Merrill to step into. We're talking to Scott Miller here on 97.3 The Fan. And is there, I don't know if this has changed, but I remember when Fernando was coming into, when he had a chance to make the opening day roster and make his debut, it was the talk about service time. Do the Padres want to start his clock? It doesn't seem like that's as much of a concern. Is that because it's not really a thing anymore, or are teams just looking past it now?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. It's a little bit of what you just said. It's not quite as much of a thing anymore. Teams are looking a little past it now. And, let's face it, part of what the Padres have going right now is a numbers game, right? I mean, trading Soto, trading Trent Grisham. I mean, they didn't have enough outfielders going into spring training to fill out a doggone three-man outfield. It didn't seem like, they had to sign Jerks and Profar after camp started. And then they just had a whole lot of young guys. So it's part of the budget cutting, where they traded Soto and Grisham and they weren't going to go out and add a lot of free agents unless it was out of desperation. And then it was going to be, the lower tier, cheaper free agents. They certainly weren't going to, replace a Juan Soto with somebody, with a high Q rating like Soto had. So, part of it is, the service time isn't quite looked at since the last collective bargaining agreement as what it used to be. And I think teams recognize now that there's so much good young talent, in Baltimore, Adley Rutschman, and, guys like that, the kid playing shortstop in St. Louis this spring, Mason Wynn, that, teams are less afraid to start the young guys earlier in their career because, they're coming in more major league ready than they used to based on a whole lot of things, improved training techniques, travel ball from the time they're 10 or 11, great coaching across the board. So, I think teams are less scared of young guys. Young guys play big more quickly than they used to. And, like I say, in the Padres case, I mean, what you're going to lose in the service time battle, you're going to make up for it, but not, by lowering your budget this year, not having to pay, exorbitant prices for the Juan Soto's of the world.
Scott Miller is with us. And Scott, I think you're 100% right. I mean, young guys are contributing in ways that they never did before.
Yep.
And practically all over baseball, we're seeing examples of this. I want to ask you about the Padre fans and whether or not some of them, many of them, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but those who feel like the Padres have let them down a little bit by lowering their payroll so drastically a year after they made it what it was, they've raised some ticket prices, etc. My point to them is that it would have been bad business to go over the luxury tax a third year in a row. It just cost too much money. It would have been irresponsible. And that they really have had no choice but to cut back on spending this year. And the fact of the matter is, they still have a contending payroll. And just because this year's isn't last year's doesn't mean it's fair to be upset with them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you laid it out pretty well. I would add, look, everybody was shocked at the payroll last year. I mean, you had the only teams outspending the Padres were the Mets and the Yankees. I mean, the two New York teams. That's it. And I think for local fans, I love the way the Padres now are an everyday part of so many people's lives. You only have to think back to the broken trust at the end of the John Moores era and then the disaster when Jeff Morad theoretically owned the team. I mean, the fans were turned off. The Padres were kind of ignored. You only have to compare it now to then. I mean, the Padres are relevant again. This ownership has made them relevant. You credit, you know, the late Peter Seidler and Ron Fowler, and, you know, who stepped aside now, and you know, the Padres management for spending the money they did. I mean, I think last year was stunning. And I think for fans to expect last year's payroll, that the Padres would continue to be like the third or fourth highest payroll in the game, I think that's unrealistic, totally unrealistic expectations. I think, you know, you can't sit here as a fan and expect the way the economics of the game are, a team in this market to spend like they did last year. I think the fact that what they spent the last 2 years, instead of fans being angry this year, they should, you know, be thankful and credit the Padres for what they've done the last couple of years. They weren't going to be able to just keep spending money nonstop, uninhibited, forever. Also, I think fans need to remember what they got from last year's team, which was a fall on its face. They didn't even make the playoffs. I think that factors into it because, you know, there was all kinds of money, October money, playoff ticket sales and that kind of thing that I'm sure the Padres counted on that never showed up because they didn't make the playoffs. So last year, as much as they spent, it was, and as well as they drew, and with all those sellouts, it still wasn't ever going to be the financial windfall they thought maybe it would be if they didn't make the playoffs. So I think they had to adjust, recalibrate a little bit. And the other thing I would add under this umbrella is, you know, longtime fans, think back to when Tom Warner came in as owner in the early 90s and they had that fire sale. I mean, you know, they traded away Fred McGriff and Roberto Alomar and, you know, Hall of Famers and All-Stars. And that's not anywhere close to what's happening now. I mean, you've still got a really interesting team to watch this year with, you know, Machado. You know, you got superstars of superstars across the game, like Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, Fernando Tatis Jr., Yu Darvish, you know, Musgrove. I mean, you still got a lot of talent on this team. And back to where we started, you know, if the Jackson Merrills of the world come in and play, you know, this, I'm not going to predict this, but this year's team could end up being better than last year's just because they traded Juan Soto and cut payroll. It was not a fire sale situation. It's not like they offloaded all their talent.
Yeah, we're talking to Scott Miller here on 97.3 The Fan, Gwen and Chris. And we were, well, I think that Juan Soto, we've been talking about this for a while, but Juan Soto, I don't know your thoughts. The Padres got so much pitching, and now that Gerrit Cole might have an elbow injury and all this other stuff, do you think that at some point the Yankees are going to regret trading all of their pitching away, or at least a lot of their pitching away?
They might, because you cannot fake pitching in this game. I don't care what the new, whatever analytics you point to, you get to look at, break the game down however you want to, on base percentage, slugging percent, exit velocity. If you don't pitch, bottom line, if you don't pitch, you don't win. That's still how you win in this game. So, the Yankees are going to be a very interesting case study. And, I'll tell you what, the other thing is if Gerrit Cole, with that MRI, depending on what that shows next few days, if he ends up, on the injured list or if it's significant, I could see all of a sudden the markets for the Yankees might increase that market for Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery, the two best free agent pitchers that still are out there on the free agent market. If I'm Scott Boras today with those two as clients, I'm watching Gerrit Cole and I'm talking. I'm sure there's already been communication with the Yankees, because you're right. I don't know if the Yankees, if they lose him after making the trade, the trades they did and trading the pitching to San Diego for Soto, they may end up needing to go right back into the free agent market. And, I thought the trade was a good gamble for the Yankees, but, I'm not as high on Juan Soto as a lot of people. I know his numbers ended up good at the end of the year last year, but I thought he was a bust. I've never seen, I just, guys with that kind of talent with a bat, swing the bat. I've never seen an alleged superstar so desperate just to walk every time at the plate. And he didn't, I mean, I could go on. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I was thrilled, to be honest with you. And I think Juan Soto is one of the biggest reasons they underachieved last year.
Scott Miller, music to my ears. I've been singing this Juan Soto thing by myself for 6 months now. It's nice to have a little support. And I was going to say, if you talk to the Yankees, tell them we're not taking Juan Soto back. They're stuck with him.
Right.
Hey, Scott, real quick, I got like 2 minutes left. Give me a quick look at the West. Is it that cut and dry, Dodgers? And just a quick thought on Arizona and the Giants and where they might be in relation to the Padres.
Yeah, well, I think it does seem cut and dry that the Dodgers ought to lap the field and win the division. But again, baseball, you just never know for sure. Things change rapidly. There's no doubt that the Dodgers are the favorites to win. But, Diamondbacks have so much good young talent. I mean, we saw what they did getting to the World Series last year. Corbin Carroll is one of the great young players in the game. Back to the young, we're just talking about Jackson Merrill. Well, Corbin Carroll and the rookie catcher Gabriel Moreno in Arizona, what those two did last year as young players, helping the D-backs get to the World Series. I like their addition of third baseman Eugenio Suarez, who they acquired from Seattle in a trade last November. I like the signing of free agent Eduardo Rodriguez, who pitched in Detroit the last couple of years. He slots in right behind Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. Diamondbacks, they're not going to be a pushover. I mean, they're for real, and I think that they I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to, run down the Dodgers for first place, but I kind of look at them a little bit like last year when, the Padres had such high expectations going into the year, and a lot of people thought, well, Dodgers probably still win the division. Padres could win it if everything goes right, but otherwise that Padres team last year was almost a lock for a wild card spot. Turned out not to happen, but the Diamondbacks are, to me, almost kind of like in the Padres slot from last year, where they could run the Dodgers down if everything goes right. If not, they ought to still do pretty well and go to the playoffs. Giants, the change in management in manager with Bob Melvin, our old guy here in San Diego running the Giants, that'll be very interesting, because things went south with Gabe Kapler last year and with all the analytic moves of Farhan Saidi. I don't think the Giants have enough to win, but the addition of third baseman Matt Chapman is really going to help. He's got a great glove, a bat. Jorge Soler is going to give them some thump in the outfield and designated hitter. I don't know. Center fielder, like the Padres, they have a new center fielder, Young Hoo Lee, who played in the KBO last year. A lot of questions around him. We'll see what he can do on an everyday basis. Right now, he's probably going to play center field and lead off for the Giants. So they'll be an interesting team. I think probably talent-wise, they're behind the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, but we'll see.
Scott, we love it. We love talking baseball with you as always and look forward to seeing you out at the ballpark. Thanks for everything. Have a great rest of your March, my friend.
You too. Enjoy it all. We'll see you soon.
All right, Scott Miller there. We'll take a quick timeout here. Come back. Daily Gambit is next up on Gwynn and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.